you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, arrange the course of this world that peace may come and your tranquil church may rejoice through greater service. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading tonight is from Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 2. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 100, and we'll read it together. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song.
Know this, the Lord himself is God.
He himself has made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and call upon his name.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting.
And his faithfulness endures from age to age.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanian, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, not two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, then let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they would deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the spirit of your father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Did everybody get an outline? You'll need it. Good. And I'm so glad you turned the lights up. It's too easy already for you to fall asleep. I need all the help I can get. And the bright lights won't hurt at all. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Christ our Lord spoke of an abundant harvest if only there are enough laborers. Help us to see that we have been chosen in our baptism to labor in his vineyard and to exercise the priesthood that belongs to all believers. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said, amen. The priesthood of all believers. Ever heard that phrase? I don't know if it gets a lot of play, but probably have heard it before. It's drawn from our first reading this evening, and I'll revisit Exodus 19. It's also printed in the left-hand column at the bottom. You can take a look at it. In nice, large font size, right? Have an easy time reading there. My congregation complains all the time. My copy is in a bigger font size. We read there, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. The Lord speaking to Moses and the people just before Moses is going up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, right? And the covenant from God. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Probably even more importantly, we see in the New Testament twice in 1 Peter 2, which wasn't a lesson read this evening. I'm going to read the second portion of this business about a royal priesthood. I read from 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, what is meant by the priesthood? It might need just a little unpacking. But suffice it to say at the outset that the mission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of seeking after and saving the lost has been entrusted to all of us. All baptized believers in Christ are ministers. Being a pastor is just one kind of minister. There are many kinds of ministers, all serving the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's try to unpack what is meant. Not a term used a lot, but it is used in Scripture, so I think that gives us validity to be able to use it. Let's visit briefly what the priesthood is in the Old Testament. And let me hasten to say at the very beginning, what the priests were in the Old Testament, everything they functioned, found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and that is the end of the priesthood. So, already that's a little interesting then. How are we a part of the priesthood if it's all been fulfilled in Jesus Christ? If you know your Old Testament, you'll realize that there were 12 tribes of Israel, and the priests came from the tribe of Levi. Moses and Aaron were both in that tribe. But not just the tribe of Levi, but the descendants of Aaron, the first high priest, his sons, his lineage, were the priests. Let's just deal with the term priest for a moment. A priest is, well, involved in some of the sacred acts of worship. Yeah, that's real helpful, Pastor Tim. Well, how about this? A priest acted in the Old Testament as a mediator between God and man. Mediator. A go-between. A priest would represent the people collectively, including himself, to God, and then would represent God and speak a word of God to the people, an intermediary, a mediator or a go-between. You might recognize in the New Testament when Paul writes to Timothy, I paused for effect there, Timothy. He writes to Timothy, he says, "For we have one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ." So whatever sense the priests in the Old Testament function as mediators, they did so forecasting and pointing to the one mediator between God and man. All right, I'm really helping out a lot tonight. How is this helping us to understand what it means to be a priesthood of believers? Well, let me go on and talk a little bit about what the priest did. There you go to one of the great books of the Old Testament, Leviticus. You just devour that. That's one of the favorite books of the Bible to read. Captivating. You probably start reading Leviticus tonight, you won't be able to put it down, right? And Leviticus, the first seven chapters, talks about a lot of what the priest in the Old Testament did. They gave sacrificial offerings. And they're all kinds of them described, and in English you'll hear some different things. They offered grain offerings, cereal offerings. I think of breakfast cereal and making a cereal offering in the morning. There are sin offerings, there are guilt offerings, there are burnt offerings. And I don't think this is referring to when the pot roast or turkey has been left too long in the oven. Although they burnt the heck out of the burnt offerings so the smoke would go up and be offered to God. There were peace offerings. There were fellowship offerings. I don't know if I've caught all the offerings. And daily, they're giving sacrificial offerings, and they're for different things like thanksgiving and for the harvest and for reconciliation. But really, more than anything else, many animals are sacrificed. The blood is shed. And this is also that there can be atonement. Well, you got a pastor and he's going to use all kinds of words. And what in the world is atonement? I'm not going to give you a full definition, but atonement has to do with the need for our sins to be forgiven and removed so that we can be united with a holy God. Think of the word atonement, or just let's go atone for a moment. Break it apart and say at one. Atone, at one. All right, let's go atonement, at one-ment. Think in terms of how we can be united with God, but we're sinful, unclean people because we've rebelled. God still desires our fellowship, and there needs to be an atonement for our sins. And these sacrifices largely, I mean, there's some other wrinkles to it, are largely all about that business of atonement so that we can have at one-ment with the holy God. All right? The interesting argument that is made in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews is to say, yeah, that served a good purpose, and atonement was made, but not because the meticulous observance of the sacrifices in and of themselves was getting the job done. Well, it was in a way, but only to the sense that it was anticipating an ultimate sacrifice and an ultimate exercise by an ultimate priest. I don't take my word for it. Here's why you've got the outline. At the very bottom of the left-hand column, let's take a look at some of the arguments being made in Hebrews. All right. We read in Hebrews 8:3, "For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer." Because every priest needed the sacrifice for himself as well as for all the people, right? I should hasten to say that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the inner shrine of the tabernacle and then the temple, once a year of all things on the Day of Atonement. sometime in the fall, I think, in most of our calendars. This is interesting, by the way. I wonder if any of our young people would know here. He had to have a rope tied around him when he went through this curtain, which only one person was allowed once a year, had to be authorized to go in where God's special presence, his glory, was so thick and so heavy, and the place that he was going to meet, carrying blood of animals. You would scoot away from where they did sacrifice in the Old Testament. Can you imagine the smells of all the bloody sacrifices and the smoke of the burnt offerings going up? No wonder they had incense. I'm going to scare you. I'd love to use incense. And what can you do? You can't fire me. Maybe I'll just come in here with a thurible and scent this place. Might be the last time I ever get asked back here. But I got an idea that incense might have had something to do with sanctifying the area. I mean, that just couldn't have been all too pleasant. Let me get back. I get off on these little tangents. Why the rope around the waist? Anybody know? I'll start with the youngest and we can pull him back out. If he gets overcome by the holiness and passes out, anybody not authorized is going to be dead on spot. How are you going to get them out of there, right? What a picture going on there. That happens once a year, so there's even kind of a crescendo of what's happening daily. All right, let me go to the right-hand column, and we're in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. And I wish I could tell you who the author is. Hebrews doesn't identify it. I think traditionally some people thought the Apostle Paul, but we don't know that. Whoever is writing Hebrews, and every high priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. One more scripture verse here, Hebrews 7, 23 through 25. Let's just see how this works if you read it with me. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The priest that didn't need to take any sacrifice for his own sins took the only perfect sacrifice that once for all could cover all sins, the sacrifice that all the lesser sacrifices were pointing to, so that once for all even stretched back the people that were having faith in God's deliverance. But those sacrifices themselves weren't getting the job done because they're repeated over and over. Get this, the high priest offers the only perfect sacrifice, his own blood. That's why he's also called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All right, that's a lot there just to tell you. Jesus fulfills the priesthood. There's no more offering sacrifices for our salvation. It's all been done. So Jesus fulfills the Old Testament priesthood. What does it mean that we are a priesthood of all believers? What kind of priesthood are we involved in? I'm in Roman numeral 2, but I'm going to pick up speed if you're worried about the pace here. Let me say this. Because we're servants of the high priest, we continue the high priest's work as we declare what he's done, because it's through the gospel that people encounter what he did on our behalf so that they might have faith. So we're his ambassadors, right? It's a priestly ministry, not so much that we're priests, but we're the servants of the priest And that's a kind of priesthood. So that's one. But the second part is we all are called to give sacrificial offerings. When somebody gives you a gift that you don't deserve and they give it to you, all you can do is receive what's being given to you and say, what do you say? Thank you. That's all you can do. When in Hebrews 13, 15, the author says, through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise, acknowledging his name. I better read it. Read it with me, Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Through prayer, when we say thanks, when we give praise to God, when we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ with our lips, we are offering a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. That's the priestly work that we can be involved in. I like also the kind of sacrifices that don't have to do with death anymore that we read about in Romans 12:1. Would you read that with me? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now I'm going to get to the heart of this all. I want to share with you three practical ways that you could do your priestly duty, be a witness for Jesus Christ, do the work of evangelism, and in one sense, it is so simple. Three very practical ways. The first is this: be in the habit, if you're not, that you always pray and ask a blessing and give thanks for your daily bread. Always make it your habit. If it isn't, please make it your habit. Jesus taught us to pray that when he said, give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging where it comes from and receiving it with thanks. Here's how it works. Alone, with your family, yes, even out in public. When you're with somebody else, when you're having lunch. How about, I'm trying to think of another word, screwing up the guts. I can't think of another one right now. Trying to rise to the occasion. You're out with somebody. You don't know if they're a church. You don't know. But you just say you're about ready to eat at McDonald's. Just pick McDonald's. Somebody works somebody else. I didn't mean that. Wherever you're at, a little uncomfortable, but we got to push a little bit. We just say, mind if I ask a blessing and give thanks for the food? Don't do that if that isn't your habit. It could be ostentatious. It could be for a show that, look at how holy I am. It's hard for me to imagine that would be the case very often, but theoretically it could. If it isn't your habit, why now? But if it is your habit, don't let the occasion. Most of the time, because very often I do it, I'm not perfect, people don't mind, but if I see they're a little uncomfortable, it can be ever so brief. It doesn't need to be a big thing. Just say, you know, Father, we ask your blessing upon these gifts that we receive with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. But please get used to saying Jesus or our Lord, Jesus Christ, or Christ our Lord, or whatever. Fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. He's our Lord. There's a great witness right there. All right. In the slim event, somebody says, no, I'm just not too religious, and it's kind of embarrassing, and please don't. We don't need to, I don't know witnessing needs to be obnoxious. No big deal. Just say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. Just give me a second. And I mean just a second. Don't make a big deal out of it, but nod your head a little bit, and under your breath, you know, just say what I just was going to say. God bless this food, gifts that we receive with thanksgiving from you. In Jesus' name, amen. But that can be all silent. Just brief. Don't make a big drawn out. If you're accustomed to, only if you're accustomed to, I think, you know, maybe the sign of the cross, then you just move on. You've done what, you've been a witness right there. That's number one. Something we all can do. Here's number two. And that is, when we meet, our neighbors, our family, friends, people that we work with, anyone that we get conversation, and they share a woe with you, their health, some anxiety, a relational problem, financial difficulty, whatever they're going through. How about at that time, that offering a sacrifice of prayer of thanksgiving, acknowledges his name, how about saying, can I pray for you? I just want you to know I will be praying for you. Can I say a prayer for you? You're in a public place. This happens to me. I work out at the Y. You'd never know it, I know. But I'll talk to somebody and people will share something. Can I pray with you? And you, people say yes a lot, and sometimes they think, you know, it's going to be along the way. Sometimes just with my eyes open, I'll just say, Lord Jesus, may your healing presence be with Frank as he goes to the doctor this Thursday. In Jesus' name, amen. But if it's real embarrassing and you can kind of read it, I say, I am going to be praying for you. And I got a confession to make. I do that a lot. But I've had people later come up to me and said, wow, they diagnosed the problem. They're going to do surgery. I had it. It was wonderful. Thank you so much for your prayers. Here's a confession I've got to make. There have been a number of occasions that I meant it, but I went and got involved in a lot of things, and I went home, and I then remembered, I don't think I ever formally prayed for that person. And it's been a matter of confession before. So this is just a little practical thing that I've done. If I can't do something out loud right there, I want to walk away immediately and say that prayer immediately and hope to get to something to write as soon as I can. But just that praying in my mind so that I know that I really will pray for it, it's more likely to get on paper and it's more likely to be done in the more formal times when I pray and I have a prayer list of people. But there's a witness. Here's a third way that we can do our priestly ministry and offering up a sacrifice of prayer and thanksgiving and praise with fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And that is when somebody gives you a compliment. I know it's happened. Maybe not as often as you would like, but somebody has complimented you for something you've done or some talent you've had or some gift that you've had. And when that occasionally happens to me, I know you're going to have a hard time believing that, but when it occasionally happens to me, I tried this real humble act and get in an argument. Ah, it's nothing. It was terrible. It really was bad and everything. And then I realized, that's really calling a lot of attention. No, I really mean it. It was really great and everything. And wow, I mean, you know, it's a false humility. Here's a quick way to just be humble about it. Well, thank you. Thank you. But I just want you to know, you've recognized, you know, God's given all of us some gifts and some talents, and I hope to God that I'm using them to his glory. And by the way, God's given you some gifts and talents as well. And boy, if you can spot something and say, and you're a really friendly person, I've seen you reach out to other people, and that's a wonderful way to use gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. Three ways we can be witness for the gospel. If it were a part of our lives, we'd be doing priestly ministry and we'd be helping to spread the gospel, and I believe it could make a difference. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. All right. So here's where I want to end up. You can look at it. I'm almost going to go verbatim here. Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Unfortunately, the laborers are few. That is why they were to pray for additional laborers. Jesus says there is an abundant harvest. That does not mean that all our efforts will be immediately successful, fruitful, and seem like a success. It is seed planting after all. And one indication we have for that is, in the very context, Jesus starts to tell his disciples what to do if the house or the city doesn't receive you. It happened to Jesus, it happened to Paul. In any given time or place, it may not be that there will be fruitfulness. Same place at another time could be a different story. What Jesus said is, move on to the next city. There is a harvest. Now, those were words spoken to a particular mission, but I believe that the harvest remains plentiful right to the end of the age in some field at some time. I'm not thinking it's the greatest time in the field of our culture now. But don't use that as an excuse. Keep moving along. Because even in our time and our place, there are people that will be hungry to hear the gospel. Keep moving along. Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This, of course, referred to the cross. And when we give witness to Jesus and his work of forgiveness effected on the cross, it will draw people to him. Allow yourselves to be sent into the harvest as a laborer, indeed, as part of the priesthood of all believers. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. We'll go to a hymn. Please stand. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God and Father of us all, by whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, grant that all on earth who bear the earthly name of Father and those who may not bear the name yet still share a fatherly love for the children around them may reflect your grace and care. Strengthen their witness to the love that you have for all your children everywhere, and lead us by their example to be people of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Triune God, bring unity and peace to your church throughout the world. Where there is discord among us, help us to work for reconciliation. Create in the larger Christian family and this congregation a climate of unity and peace, that our fellowship with one another may be grounded in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Steadfast God, in the midst of all the changes of this world, you are the one who is eternal. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As the world continues to turn, we pray for youth, working parents, single persons, homebound, and those anticipating life changes. Keep us alert for your coming. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of compassion, in times of weeping and mourning, when we are ill or suffering, we wait upon your mercy, trusting that you never forget us. Give hope to all who wait in patience and faith, especially those we name now, either silently or aloud. Be with them in their time of need, and remind them of your promise that neither height or depth, death or life, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And so we're back to sharing the peace. God's 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 peace.
Lord, Tim.
John, God's peace. God's peace. Arnie, God's peace. God's peace. God's peace. God's peace. God's peace. I knew this congregation was at peace with one another, even if you scatter all over and go to the back. I believe the offering at this time. Thank you.
and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with theirs we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, Lord, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.